You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out here on PodcastJuice.net with your host, Michael Dean. We also joined here by Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Mike. I'm busy as hell, but just making as much money as I can before I leave this earth.
Okay, you are on a get rich and die trying, Steve. Let's do it. And also here by Mr. Sean Heal. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Trying to get through this Thanksgiving bull.
Okay. Wow. Let's go to Pilgrims, baby. For the natives. All right.
And if the family want to see me in Phoenix, and I'm like, All right,
okay.
Let's do this.
Gotcha. Want to put this at the top of the show. So sometimes people ask, you know, how can they help with the show and what can they do? We've got a cool way set up now. If you go to the podcastjuice.net site, and right on the side, it says donate my account or donate your account. What that means is you can actually click on that and sign up to have your either Twitter and or Facebook timeline attached to our site. So what would happen is when we post a new show on Facebook or Twitter, it will show up on your timeline and you don't have to do anything. You just do that one time, connect, and this is a great way to share the show with your friends and family on social media. So it's a great way to spread the word of the site. So donate your account, podcastjuice.net. Very quick and easy way to help spread the word. With that said, today's episode, we are going to be talking about The Hunger Games Catching Fire. And I just thought about this. Maybe this was the last movie, but was the Alicia Keys song ever tied into this movie? Like, this girl is on fire.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Man, that's a promotion.
That's a marketing mistake right there.
That would have been a no-brainer. But with that said, we're going to get into that movie. Mr. Sean Hill, I know you have seen it. I have seen the movie. Q Storm and Anthony have not seen the second one, but have definitely seen the first one. So we will be mindful of spoilers here.
You can spoil it as all. You can spoil it all you want from me.
Well, you might change your mind. But with that said, Mr. Hill, you know, your review is on the site. But give us the podcast version of your review of Hunger Games Catching Fire.
All right. It is a perfectly executed sequel. I have said, and I will say again, that it reminds me a lot of The Empire Strikes Back, where you're taking a group of characters, existing characters from a previous story. It goes more into their characters. It also goes darker. Puts them in bigger peril, more things are at stake. And it, much like The Empire Strikes Back, it has an open ending where it's, you know, kind of a setup for the next sequel, the next installment. It's exhilarating from start to finish. I was a big fan of the first one also, by the way. I actually, it was on my list of the top 10 movies of the year of 2012. It surprised me with how good it was, and I went into this one with most sequels not expecting much, and I was just surprised at just how good the film was.
Wow. We'll get into the finer points later. I'll just give you my quick take on this. Now, I will start to say I was not a fan of the first movie. I fell asleep on it. I can understand why, you know, I see why it couldn't be, you know, entertaining for people. It just did nothing for me. I like the premise, but I didn't like this first. I didn't like the first movie at all. Sorry.
Was it because of the setup? It was a kind of a lengthy.
It was that. I didn't like the way the action was presented in the movie. It just, I don't know. It came off a little too Twilight-y, light. Sort of fair to me, which I thought the premise was a little more harder and should have been presented differently. Now I'm going to go back and watch it again just to see if maybe I just wasn't into it. But let me just go in to say that Catching Fire is fire.
Yes.
I was shocked the movie starts out, and I didn't really remember everything that happened in the first one, so I was trying to catch up a little bit. But, man, I walked out of that theater like, give me the book. I need to see this again. Like, it was just a thrill ride movie all the way through. I have to shout out the director. It's so funny. Like, this guy, I would start to say, like, he is the what is his name?
Francis
Lawrence. The director of the hit music video Ghetto Superstar is now... This guy's a music video director, right? I mean, he did...
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. He's... In the 90s, he was pretty much did... the director of Ray J's Let It Go video. actually did two Ray J videos. And Jay-Z and everyone else under the sun. Maya, En Vogue. But whatever he's done before, he's also did I Am Legend. This guy is dope. Like, he understands how to take something and make it a blockbuster. Because I'm going to tell you, I was not a fan of the first movie. This, I hesitate to say, but this was one of the better, well, this definitely is one of the better movies I've seen all year in terms of sort of, you know, the big blockbusters, big hoopla about the movie. It's all deserved here. Like, I was at the edge of my seat and I was jumping, you know, like, I mean, this is a masterful movie. I had to give it up. I was shocked. So I'll just stop there and just say that, yeah, A+. Hunger Games. I'm a fan.
Can we talk about Jennifer Lawrence?
Go ahead.
And how good she is in this. She I don't know if you guys know, she's got chops. She's already been nominated for an Oscar, and she won last year for Silver Linings Playbook. And I'm hearing buzz for her for American Hustle, which I'll be seeing, I think, next week or the week after next. Casting is everything. Can you imagine Kristen Stewart in this role?
No.
She, without her, I don't think the film would work. She brings vulnerability, toughness, determination that this role needs. And the girl can act. She's not just a pretty girl in there, just, you know, throw her in there and, hey, here you go. No, she's an actress, and she's able to bring Katniss. I love that name. She's able to bring Katniss to life, and you sympathize with her, you empathize with her, and without her, I think you're talking about a lesser film. You're talking about a Twilight or Mortal Instruments or something like that. I think she elevates the material.
I would agree. Again, I wasn't a super fan of hers before, but I have to give it credit. Like, I really cared about her character in this movie. I don't know, something about her. I know a lot of people think that she's fine. I mean, she's just, all right. She just has this sort of face that, I don't know, she just makes me feel like, man, I hope that she's gonna be okay. Like,
yeah.
And she wasn't well, like,
I mean,
that
vulnerability that she has.
And maybe this is my innate beaten in love for white women. I have to protect them because of Master, but nonetheless, I've been watching Roots, so what can I say?
But I won't be sharing this podcast.
I've had drinks. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
From the trailers, it looks like it's the same setup where they have to participate in the Hunger Games once again. Is that the case?
Yes. But there is a genius reason behind it. And in the interest of those who hadn't seen it, I won't spoil it. But looking at the trailer, yeah, you'll go, oh, man, this is the same. I just saw this movie a year ago.
That's what I said when I first, yeah.
Yes, kind of. But, Mike, you would agree that the reason for the games is absolutely genius.
The reason for the games is genius. What happens in the games this time is, again, the first movie, I was like, ah, this is corny. This one, this is where they go in, and you're like, okay, they put some thought into this.
Yes, yeah, the stakes are higher.
The stuff that's going on, it's brilliant. And I got to shout out Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, yes.
My man, listen, they had Peoples in this movie. You remember Peoples from
Peoples Hernandez.
Peoples. I saw him, I was like, Peoples? What? They got Peebles in this movie? I mean, he doesn't play the same sort of character, but he looks like an older version
of Peebles. Yeah, he
hilarious.
Does, yeah.
But the guy's dope.
Is he replacing Lenny Kravitz?
Lenny Kravitz is in it, and let me tell you something. I like Lenny Kravitz. Now they got Lenny Kravitz. I don't agree how they have him looking in this movie. You got the eyeliner, but I'm watching this with my girlfriend. She is a super Lenny Kravitz fan, so she's in the sea dog squirming and stuff. Lenny Kravitz on the scene. I'm like, all right, now he's all right. You got to do all that, but there's a scene. Or they whoop Lenny Kravitz's ass, and a secret hater part of me was like, hell yeah, that motherfucker. And so they tighten his ass up real smooth in this movie. I mean, listen, everybody in this movie was great. What's the guy who played the bad guy second to...
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Love that guy. When I saw him, I was like, oh, shit. Okay. All right. I knew something interesting was going to happen. I didn't know what, but as soon as I saw his face, I'm like, yeah, this movie's going to be cracking.
And it was like Donald Sutherland, he was on his Emperor, Darth Vader. I mean, those cats. You know what? I like this movie. I'm going to give this little part away. This is where I sat up for attention. It's like, oh, this movie's ill. There's a part early on where Katniss, and the premise of the movie, you know, they won the Hunger Games in the first one, and they go back to whatever their district was that they're at.
12,
and they sort of have a more of a charmed life in terms of they don't have to suffer so much, so they live in this housing thing, and their family's with them, and then they have to go on tour to the other districts, and it's kind of like it's all about propaganda of, you know, support the president in our little system. And they go on tour, but you can see like the people in the districts have sort of like turned her into like this sort of, I don't know, icon of revolt. You can kind of see the underbelly of it.
Like a Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, and he's like the rebels are like they're identifying with her, even though the president dude, obviously he's not a fan of this and he does not like this. But there's a scene where she goes to, and this so-called, it must have been the Black Town. Because it was all black people there. You know what I'm talking about? The black district?
Yeah, it was Rouge district, if you remember the first. The little girl,
the
black
little
girl
black
that
girl.
Dies. Yeah.
And the other, the brother, a young brother who died was in the same town. So they had their families kind of off to the side, and there was a memorial for them or whatever. And this old black man was kind of standing in the crowd, and he put up his hands like it was some sort of salute to her, to Katniss' character. And the general, you know, the military dudes, well, they took offense to that. So they ran down there in the audience with the stormtroopers, pulled his ass out, put him up on the stage for everybody else, took out the jammy, the gun, busted him right in his head in front of everybody. I was like, what? I was like, oh, shit. And that's when I was like, this movie is ill. And they would have never done it like that in the first one. And let me tell you, once you get past the first part of this movie, there's a lot of good stories set up and different things. And they go to the game. This game is hardcore, man. Like, this game is the real shit. I don't even want to give it away. There's a part with the baboons and all that. It is dope, man. I was blown away. And I noticed, I don't know if you saw it in IMAX, but I went and saw it in IMAX. And when it gets to the game part, the screen blows up. Like, it takes the entire screen up. And I was like, okay, that's kind of filthy. And you're gone. And it's just like that last hour. Just head bust. They just going in. I was like, this is how you're supposed to do it.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah, man, I'm a fan of this. Now, I will say there's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Just like Empire.
And you did Empire. That's a very hard for me to sort of go there, but I will give it to you. I will say that, you know what? I can understand for this generation, this would be an Empire Strikes Back moment. And it sucks that you have to wait. However long, well, next year, I guess, when we get the next one.
The release date is November 21st, 2014.
Now, the only thing corny to me, and again, unless the next movie is just as good, they're going to split that third book into two movies.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So that's a little, But from where we are right now, I can only recommend this movie with the highest praise. Like, this is some good shit. If I had my ratings board, I was good shit.
So I got one last question.
Okay.
So for someone like me, you know, I consider myself a progressive, but someone like me who found myself disgusted with the first film, just, well, the whole concept based on the fact that I just don't think it's any society is it does good by presenting children being killed for entertainment on screen, whether it's fake entertainment or not. So for someone like me, would I be just as offended at this movie as well?
No, it's not kids this time. It's not, it's not kids. It's grown folks.
But, yeah.
And that's what I think why they didn't show a lot of the brutalness in the last movie and the shaky cam and cutaway. This is all grown folks. So, it's a different movie.
I thought the first movie kind of spelled the demise of our civilization when people are going to see a film where children are shot in the heart with arrows.
Well, again, I think it's more so the story.
But I think the story.
Hey, but Sean, did you go see the Harry Potter movies?
No, I've seen them, but I didn't. I've only seen like the first three of them.
Again, in terms of your point of the kids, this is not that movie. The people, I would say this: the games this time do not involve kids at all.
Yeah. And I think there's a bit in the first film, and I wish they would have brought it out a little bit more. I think there's some social commentary about reality TV. You know, it's like, what's next? You know, we've gone from the real world to, you know, hip hop, loving hip hop, and, you know, just every Survivor and everything up under the sun. It's like it's a natural kind of progression. But who's to say that won't be a reality one day when all the other reality shows, the possibilities have exhausted themselves? You know, it's kind of like the Running Man, that same kind of, you know, people being killed for entertainment. You know, who's to say in 10, 20 years, maybe, you never know. So,
well, that's a good, I was going to bring up the Running Man. See, they, in which case, I would say they've already done that, and they did it back in 1986, I think, when that movie came out.
So. Yeah, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, but that movie is a clown movie, though. Let's be clear. I mean, I didn't take that movie serious back then. I sure as hell don't take that movie serious.
I don't think you were supposed to. It's one of those guilty pleasures.
Yeah, this is way beyond that. I mean, this is...
Well, no. Yeah, but the themes are the same.
Yeah, to a degree. But again, it's the present. I could take this totally serious. Like, this was an ill movie with an ill concept and was actually executed perfectly this time, as opposed, again, I was not a fan of the first one at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was some real stuff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, four out of four stars for me. It probably won't make my 10 best list of the year. It's pretty jam packed already, but if I was doing like, you know, 11 or 12, it definitely would be there. But it is a great film.
And let me just, there's a few things in the movie that I got the impression that there was so much they were trying to put in this movie that some of the things that were going on, I wasn't clear about who did what and why some things were the way they were. There was the character where they, you know, just say the baboons, and it's a character that does something. And I didn't know who that character was, and it wasn't. Now that I know the ending of the movie, I can say I know why. So maybe I should go back on that. I guess some of the characters they didn't give us a chance to identify with that were in the game. You saw them, but they was like gone. I would imagine, and again, this could be something that happens when you try to adapt a book. But I imagine a lot of those other characters had some bigger stories or
points to them. Yeah, I'm sure they were condensed. I mean, you have to do that in the interest of time.
Yeah. Well, I tell you that someone on the forum just now said that this movie was like similar to The Empire Strikes Back. And so if I go see this movie and I don't like it, I'm going to be hot.
Well, again, don't expect The Empire Strikes Back. But in terms of the cliffhanger and that it's a sequel.
That's my film, right? The Empire Strikes Back is one of my all-time.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's the same quality as Empire Strikes Back. I'm just saying structurally it's like The Empire Strikes Back, where all of the characters are back. They're put in a different situation. The stakes are much higher this time. And it's a much darker film than the original. And again, with the kind of open-ended you know, ending like Empire has. That's all I'm saying. I'm not by no stretch of imagination saying it is as good as Empire Strikes Back, but as I'm watching it, that's what it reminded me of, just structurally, with how dark it got and how the stakes were much higher that time.
I'm just saying, a black girl gets shot in the heart with an arrow. You're saying this movie is darker? That's
yeah, it's pretty. It's darker. It's way darker. And the fact that they also Katniss is still haunted by that. Not only the games, but she still feels a level of guilt for her death. So it's dealt with in this film. It's not like, you know, the kid dies and that's it. I mean, it's, as Mike kind of alluded to, it's an important plot point in this film as well. So,
well, the aftermath. You guys are really pouring it on. I'll go check it out tonight.
Well, I don't want to blow anybody's. Listen, I'm just saying, I'm an action dude. I like, action packed movies. This delivers on that. A few movies I've seen this year where it was action that made a difference to me. I was all in. You know, it was tense stuff going on. And I give it credit. That last hour, it was like the set piece was just kind of one up and it was going up. And I was like, damn, it's going down. You know, they throw puzzle elements in it. And I was like, okay. I mean, it was some good stuff, man. I was like, to me, I was like, man, Katniss, she was green. Green Arrow, Hawkeye. She could have been in Avengers. I was like, let's go. Like, I was getting hyped. I was like, yeah, get him. What? And people was getting stabbed up. Man, it was going down. I was impressed. I was impressed. And you could see it all. It wasn't like it was all up close and you can't really tell what's going on. And I hate that crap, but. Yeah, they delivered. I say, and I was hating all the way until the movie started, because my girlfriend was, "Oh, we had to go see this," and it was, this was one of the first movies we saw when we went dating, the first one. So it's a tradition. And I was like, okay, and when we get there, and you just all the little white girls, and I'm like, they got me walking in on this. But once that bad boy get, I was like, okay, hey, there you go.
Well, I got to see it in a different way, and I'm thankful the marketing company that does the screenings, they set up a press-only screening, so it was just me and my wife that went, and we, other members of the press, but it wasn't open to the public. So one of the things I would have liked to have kind of seen would have been the crowd reaction to it or whatever, but I'm kind of glad with that kind of movie that it was just, just people that were there, a stodgy press people, that were there to just simply watch and review the film, and didn't have a race, what's that, horse in the race, no matter what.
Well, I would tell you the audience reception throughout the movie, the parts was funny, people were openly laughing, and at the end they clapped. Like, I was like, wow. And it was like there was a couple of moments in the movie they clapped. I don't want to give away why, but there's a couple points in there where a character do something. They're like, or they said something. You know what I'm talking about? Where, what's his name? Petenus?
Peta.
Petey? Petenus?
Peta.
Where he throws where he throws his little thing in there.
Yeah.
Everybody in the theater was like, God. And I was like, it's kind of slick. And then at the end they clapped. So I would say the audience reaction was like a toned down reaction to how people were acting when I went and saw the Avengers for the first time. Like, everybody was laughing and clapping. So it's a great, it's just, I can see that it would probably be a very big movie. It plays like, the guy knew the beats of how to make that sort of movie that the crowds will react to, probably want to see it again. It definitely flows like that. I can see why it will be successful.
Yeah. And if box office is any indication, I'm just looking at Variety. They're estimating it's going to do $150 million this weekend. So.
Wow, that's crazy.
Can I do a little name dropping real quick?
Yeah.
This really has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I just had to say this, but I remember maybe 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago, when I was living outside of New York, I was having lunch with a friend on the Upper West Side. And Philip Seymour Hoffman walked in with some woman and sat down right next to us, right? And the guy is a slob. That's all I was impressed. I wanted to run over and get his autograph. Not get his autograph. Say hi, get a picture. And my friend was like, no, just chill. And the guy said, oh, he's such a slob. That's all I have to say.
All right. A little shot of fate. Shade thrown. Seymour. But all right. So any last words from anybody? I take that as a no.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sean, are you familiar with the books? I haven't read the books, but are you familiar with the books and how?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't have time to really read. The only time I read is like true crime stuff. So as far as the differences in the books and the movies, no, I don't know. All I can tell you, here's how I look at it, though. Does it work as a film? Yes. Are there things in the book that, you know, could help enhance the story even more? Probably. But I wouldn't know. I mean, it works as a movie. Both films to me worked. So if there are differences, I'm not aware of them.
Yeah, I read the first book. And I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. There were differences in the movie, but it wasn't enough to like draw me out of it. Again, I didn't like the movie, so.
Okay, because I have a question. Like, there's this big hype about Rue being black because the kids were too stupid to realize that's how she was being portrayed in the book. But when I saw the movie, like, she didn't have that big of an impact on the story and was killed pretty quickly. So I want to know, like, was her role cut down in the film? Or is there more flipped out in the book?
This is just a guess. I would say yes, her role was probably cut down because it just seemed like Katniss had this connection to her that seemed too brief for her to have had the reaction that she has once she's killed and then continuing into the second film. That would be my guess, that maybe some of that was cut down just in the interest of time.
Yeah. Yeah. But her, like you said earlier, her character does play into this movie in some of the motivations and things that's going on with Katniss, and her presence is definitely felt. And I thought that was kind of cool. So, all right, there you go. Catching Fire, Hunger Games. Check it out. Give us your opinion. See what you thought. And that's going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up. That's going to wrap it up for our podcast. Just geeked out. So we'll see you in the next episode. And quoting my man Cuddy from Dead Presidents, don't ever bite the hand that feeds you. All right, good night.